to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
How do we reach people who so far have chosen not to be vaccinated? And how do we incentivize them to take up what's in the interest of public health?
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's July 16th, 2021 program, Defeating COVID, Vaccine Incentives from Coast to Coast. This is the 40th program for our 2020-21 programming year. My name's Kitty Piercy, and I am the City Club president. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member, and you should, of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. Our programs are always available on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page and our broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 on Mondays at 7. In today's program, we welcome Kathy Kaufman, Kaufman Strategies, Craig R. Frank, Kaya Holdings, Tom Costino, Garden State Wine Growers Association, Dr. Chinwei Chi, professor at Oregon State University and founding director for OSU Center for Global Health. Biographical information on our speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. I would like to thank Andrew Kallick for coordinating today's program. So, free beer or a glass of wine, discounts on ice cream, donuts, or your favorite edibles? College scholarships for young people? Oh, and how about $1 million? These are just some of the incentives public and private sector actors are offering to encourage vaccination in Oregon across the country, because we're seeing it really go down. And yet, despite the best efforts of public health authorities, vaccination uptake has slowed down dramatically in recent months, with many states failing to reach even 50% of eligible adults, let alone the 70% goal laid out by the Biden administration. With variants circulating and kids under 12 still waiting to be eligible for the vaccine, the fight to vaccinate more Americans remains an urgent and pressing issue. We've got an expert panel today to discuss this challenge and how government and business can continue to work together to incentivize vaccination.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene. My name is Andrew Kallick. I'm a member of the board and the organizer of today's program. You've heard about COVID vaccines. You might have even heard that you can get a free beer if you take one, free glass of wine, maybe a college scholarship, maybe even $1 million if you're lucky enough. But even despite those incentives, we've seen vaccination uptick curb in Oregon over the last several weeks and months. In fact, there are several counties in the state that have fewer than 40% of people 16 and older vaccinated. And so the question we have today is, how do we fix that? How do we reach people who so far have chosen not to be vaccinated? And how do we incentivize them to take up what's in the interest of public health, at least according to Oregon's public health? We have a tremendous group of people to discuss this issue today. And the first person to kick things off will be Kathy Kaufman. Take it away.
Everybody. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for inviting me here today. My name is Kathy Kaufman. I am a contractor working with the Oregon Health Authority in our governor's office on COVID outreach, COVID vaccine outreach. So let me just give you a brief overview of what kind of work the state has been doing thus far to encourage Oregonians to get their COVID vaccines. You, I'm sure, all remember what it was like in the early part of the year when the vaccines first became available. There was no problem with outreach or spreading the word forward because we had much higher demand than supply of vaccines for the first few months of this effort. We had people struggling to find appointments to get their shots. And so the focus was really just on making the vaccines as accessible as possible and using up every last ounce of vaccine supply that the state got from the federal government. Once supply began to increase in late spring, that changed, however, and our efforts to spread the word about vaccine availability increased. Oregon's got a number of different strategies underway, including a pretty sophisticated social media and media campaign. There's a website called safestrongoregon.org with information about the vaccines. There's information available on the Oregon Health Authority website. And there have been significant outreach efforts through hundreds of community-based organizations throughout the state who are contracting with the Oregon Health Authority to help spread the word and also to stand up local community-based vaccine sites to make getting the vaccine as easy as possible for people in the neighborhoods where they live. Once we got to about May, we saw demand for the vaccine really start to dip pretty significantly. The governor launched the Take Your Shot Oregon incentive campaign. The $1 million lottery prize winner was just announced a few days ago. A young woman who is a fine arts major at OSU was the lucky recipient. And all 36 counties in the state are also offering a smaller dollar lottery incentive for people who get vaccinated. And for youth under the age of 18, there are tuition supports being offered as their lottery incentive for vaccination. As our large mass vaccination centers in Portland, Salem, and Bend began to wind down as demand began to decrease, we also experimented with offering gift cards as an incentive. The state gave away hundreds of $100 Fred Meyer and Safeway gift cards to people for getting their first vaccination shot. And we saw that as a pretty successful effort. We saw an uptick in the number of people in those regions getting vaccinated over the previous weeks. We certainly see incentives as a critical tool in the toolbox for spreading the word about vaccines, but of course, it's not the only tool. For people who remain hesitant about getting their COVID vaccines, it's really important that their individual questions get answered. As you all may know, there's a significant amount of misinformation being spread about the COVID vaccines, what their effects are. And so part of our work is to make sure that when people have questions about the safety or the efficacy of these vaccines, we can give them factual information so that they're able to make the choice that's right for them. The state's going to continue to double down on its efforts to reach out to people who've not yet gotten vaccinated. We will be working throughout the summer and into the fall to start to do very hyper-local outreach, including direct outreach to individuals, and even working with small businesses in different neighborhoods to work with them to offer incentives. Given the impact of COVID on small businesses, we think it would be great to figure out new incentive strategies that not only encourage people to get vaccinated, but offer some support to local Oregon businesses who've been struggling because of the shutdown and the impact of COVID on all of us. Thanks, Andrew. With that, I think I will hand it off to Dr. Chinhui Chi.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Andrew, for inviting me to this City Club of Eugene, this forum. My name is Junhui Ji. I'm a professor in two programs at OSU. One is Global Health Program, the other is Health Management and Policy Program. And I'm also serving as the director of Center for Global Health at Oregon State University. And my expertise include in various dimensions of international health, in health system financing and strengthening universal health care, and global health governance. And one kind of unique expertise I developed is pandemic, particularly the policy and control measure related to pandemic. I began to study the pandemic probably much earlier than most people in 2003, the SARS. And during that pandemic, I was followed literally every day on the development, the policy response, particularly in Asia, because Asia was the hardest hit countries. And since then, I pay attention to what happened afterwards, including the 2009, the pandemic of 2009, H1N1, even though that was disputed whether it was qualified as a pandemic. And then for the current round of the pandemic, I follow it since December, when Taiwan began to report new disease that looked SARS-like, right, in Wuhan area. And based on what I have studied, have followed, I firmly believe this whole pandemic could have been prevented. And some of the issue I will discuss in more detail later. And in 2020, I have followed, analyzed, and compared closely, not just United States, but various countries across different continents, looking at how different countries respond in different strengths and with different results. And of course, unfortunately, the US ended up in the 2020 being one of the worst responder in terms of national policy and response. And we contributed the largest number of cases in terms of the global cases, also the largest number of deaths. However, in 2021, because of the vaccination campaign, we are turning it around. And even though there is still room to improve, but we have seen how the vaccine has worked, that significantly reduced both the number of cases in the US as well as the number of deaths in the US. And later I will also share with you about how we move forward toward a post-pandemic era. And right now, the key steps move towards the post-pandemic era is vaccination. And that's the core topic we're discussing today. That's my brief introduction. So I'll move it to Tom.
Thank you, Chinwe and Kathy and Andrew for having me as part of this forum. I'm Tom Costantino. I serve as the executive director of the Garden State Wine Growers Association in New Jersey, which is a nonprofit organization basically made up of over 50 wineries, vineyards, and associate members. We largely are the governing body for the wine industry in the state. We were hit very hard last March at the outset of COVID. New Jersey was, you know, one of the major hubs for the outbreak of the virus, being so close to New York City. And I unfortunately knew the first person that died in New Jersey of COVID. He was a horse trainer, and I used to work in horse racing, and I knew him from years back. And so that kind of brought things home. And also, as a person who's had major heart failure in his life, the outbreak of COVID and the restrictions that were placed really put me under lock and key and in fear of doing anything in public. As an industry, the wine industry was allowed to stay in operation as an essential business. But what happened is, come mid-March, all the wineries closed their tasting rooms, but we were allowed to do direct sales or curbside sales and then direct shipping to residents' homes. And that was By being able to do that, thankfully, it kept most of our wineries afloat. One of the greatest fears that we had back in March, when it was really an unknown scenario of when we'd be able to reopen again, how bad would this get? The question was, since many of our wineries are very, very small, they're family-run businesses, we were worried that many would close. Fortunately, because of the curbside sales and those measures, they were able to make it through. And we wrote a plan for the state to open up outdoors. Because of the nature of our business, all of the wineries in New Jersey by law have to have 3 acres of land. And so we had ample room outside to keep people safe and in a safe environment and feeling comfortable. And so we wrote a plan for the state, and eventually we were allowed to reopen in mid-June. And our wineries followed a lot of strict protocols from the health department. And we also wrote protocols that wineries had to adhere to. And the wineries were able to navigate the summer months very, very successfully. Most of the wineries went under a reservation system, so they limited how many people were able to come in. Tasting rooms remained closed. And we were able to get through the summer into the fall. Of course, the winter months were kind of tough because without the indoors open, wineries had to adapt constantly. Many of them added fire pits and outdoor heaters and tents to just, deal with the public that was looking for some place to go. And in a way, the New Jersey wine industry was the only place to be. Outdoor dining had started up again. People were going to restaurants, but people felt safe at wineries, and a lot of our wineries discovered new patrons because people discovered there were wineries in their backyard. They were coming in from New York, coming across from Philadelphia. And so the wineries had to adapt to meet the challenges of having that influx of patrons. But at the same time, they stuck to their reservations and so on. So as we've gone into the new year and we launched mass vaccination sites in the state, they proved to be very, very successful. And the state had a goal of getting 4.7 million people vaccinated by the end of May and into June, actually. And one of the things they started to come up with to raise the ante and raise the awareness level were vaccination type promotions and incentives. And in the beverage industry, they did an agreement with the craft breweries in the state, and they called it a shot in the beer, so that anybody getting their first vaccination shot in the month of May would get a free beer at our participating craft brewery. There were about 40 breweries that participated. The reports I had were, most of the places got a few people coming in each week, showing their card and getting a free beer. The governor's office then reached out to me and asked if we would want to get involved in a similar type promotion. I had gone to my board of directors and they approved it. And we went to our membership and we wound up coming up with 9 wineries that wanted to participate. We added a 10th as we launched. And we called it Uncork the Vaccination. The governor asked me to attend an event he did on the beach down at the shore at Island Beach State Park. It was a couple of weeks before Memorial Day. So our promotion only lasted a couple of weeks, but we announced the launch of Uncork the Vaccination. And the EPA commissioner was there as well, because one of the incentives that the state also announced was the opportunity for those that were newly vaccinated to get free entry into all the state parks over the summer months. So we participated and we looked at it as a chance to this kind of publicity was good because it showed we were able to tell our story about how safe wineries were to be at, and the fact that we wanted people to be vaccinated because we wanted to welcome them back out into a safe environment at our wineries. So that's why we participated. My feedback from most wineries were, just like the breweries, we had a few, people coming in and out. Some people were embarrassed to show a card, didn't want to do that. But in a sense, I think it was a success because we had a lot of publicity from it. And with that, we were able to educate the public on the safety of coming to a winery, but also the importance of to come out to a winery and get back out, please get vaccinated.
My name is Craig Frank. Thank you to the organizers for inviting me to participate today. I run a company actually in Oregon. Headquartered in Florida, but our operations are there. We have 2 stores called Kaya Shack, one in Portland and one in Salem. We do have a presence in Oregon with a little warehouse, so don't think we left you guys out. Since our inception, have tried to figure out ways that we could be impactful on issues that cannabis itself might have a role to play. We're a cannabis company, by the way. I apologize, I didn't mention that. So a couple of years ago, we attempted to do a cannabis opioid swap program and try to introduce it into the community, and we were prevented to do so because of certain rules and regulations in the state. Since then, we had been looking for an opportunity to do something, call it in the health or wellness to our community. And when COVID presented itself and vaccinations were offered, we thought that this might be an opportunity for us to help the community, serve that role that we had initially set out to serve. And we thought the best way to do that would be to provide an incentive to get vaccinated. We don't think, we called it pot for a shot. Oregon State does not permit the free giving of cannabis, so we had to offer a discount instead. That discount wound up okay for the consumer because they can use it again and again and again until the epidemic is over. So some people are enjoying an extended discount. The idea was not necessarily to convince somebody who wasn't going to get vaccinated to get vaccinated. I don't think that would be enough of an incentive, but it was to reward those who had the community-minded approach and understood how important their getting vaccinated was to everybody else. And so we wanted to give both on the incentive side, but we also looked at it very much as a reward side. I think so far it's gone pretty well. We have, I'd say, well over 100 customers who come in on a repeated basis using that discount. And I think others are going to start to. Certainly, we hope so. And if our incentive is one of the reasons why they do, well, all the better for it.
Thank you all so much.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.